The following program is a production of St. Peter the Rock Media and is brought to you by you. If you like it, consider making a donation and supporting Catholic radio programming on AM 1260 The Rock. Click on the Donate Now button in the upper right corner of our webpage.
Inevitably, all of us will ask God this one important question.
What do you want me to do? Why am I here? You're here on this planet for a reason. What do you want me to do? Why am I here? What do you want me to do? Why am I here?
Hello? Hello? Who is this?
This is God calling.
Then everything can seem so clear. AM 1260 The Rock presents God Calling. This locally produced program looks closer at stories of religious vocations from the priesthood to marriage, from parenting to the single life. And now here's your host, Paul Orlowski.
Hello, everyone, and here we are again on AM 1260 The Rock, Cleveland Catholic Radio. The name of our program, God Calling, as you heard in the intro, very cleverly produced intro. That was Bishop Olesik at the very beginning of that intro, asking those questions. And that's topics that we're hoping to address as we continue to do these programs weekly here on AM 1260 The Rock. And we have an interesting two guests, as a matter of fact, today. My name is Paul Orlowski, the host, and Deacon Dave Kushner and his wife Marie. And Deacon Dave is a deacon and at St. Mary's Church in Collinwood. You probably know a good friend of mine, Deacon, which is Councilman Mike Polensic. I think he's at St. Mary's, isn't he?
Absolutely. Yes, he is.
He fights for that ward, doesn't he?
Oh, he does. He's a great councilman. He's done incredible things in the Collinwood area.
Deacon, you've been there for 10 years, and that's your home parish.
That is our home parish. Actually, I've been there since 2007, Paul, when I was ordained.
Okay.
And it's an ethnic parish of Slovenian descent.
So typical of Cleveland, isn't it? The ethnicity really fostered and continues to live in the Catholic Church with our traditions, whether it be Italian, Slovenian, you name it. It exists in Cleveland, Ohio.
Oh, absolutely. The diversity that you find with the immigrant groups it's a real blessing for our diocese.
Tell me about your vocation story, Deacon.
That's interesting. I'm actually a convert to the Catholic faith, and I had been searching for a number of years to try to find a home for myself and just was not able to do so. I had always attended Catholic Mass, even growing up in my family. So oftentimes I'd go to the Sunday services at the Presbyterian Church and then would turn around on Sunday and go to Mass with my father. And that practice continued into high school and even when I was in my college years. I would go to the Vigil Mass with some friends and then turn around on Sunday and go to the Presbyterian services. But when I graduated and then moved to Cleveland, I was searching and I couldn't find a home for myself. I had met my wife, Marie, and it was through her influence and example that she brought me closer to the Catholic Church. And some things happened when we were looking to sell our house in Willowick and move to the Mentor area. And I had was searching, and I just said a prayer, and I said, if this all works out, I'm going to end up joining the Catholic Church. And sure enough, we joined the Catholic Church.
It's actually a funny story. We were selling our house in Willowick, and part of that deal is what's called a Seward eye test. Every house that is put up for sale has to do a flush test,
right,
to make sure the pipes and the sewers are working the way they should be. And so we were scheduled to go ahead and go with that. And unbeknownst to me, Dave makes a deal with God. And the people come from the city to do the test. Number of houses were done that day. And apparently ours was the only one that passed that day.
Okay.
So he had to make good on a promise.
Yeah, since our house passed the sewer dye test, I promised God I'd join the Catholic Church, and I followed through with that. started going to Mass on a regular basis and got myself involved with some ministries, and always felt that I had, God was asking me to do something. I didn't know exactly what it was. And then it was a couple things happened with my pastor, Father John Kumsey, and a very good friend of ours, the last priest out of our parish who was ordained, which is Father John Retar. He's now out in Elyria. But some things came up, and I was getting some signs and indications. And one day, Father Retar was at our house for dinner, and he brought a brochure on a diaconate to me, and I just kind of put it away on the table, and we went about our evening. And the next day, I read that brochure, and it was kind of a scary feeling in that everything that was in there described who I was to a T.
Wow.
And and then I had a meeting with Father Kumsey, and Marie happened to be at that meeting as well. It was under his parish council meeting. And he, before the meeting started, it was just the three of us at a table. And he leaned back and he said, I looked across the sanctuary this past weekend and I saw you and a friend of mine who were, one of us was the lector and I was the Eucharistic minister. And he said, you guys would make very good deacons. And to be honest with you, I didn't even know what a deacon was. I never met one. And I didn't know if he was kind of pulling my chain a little bit or what. And Marie and I had a conversation the next day, and she said, no, I think he was serious.
Wow.
So I called him up, and yeah, he was serious. And I said, well, I don't even know how to do this. So he got me in contact with the vocation people that do work for the diaconate. And boy, next thing I knew, a couple weeks later, I was at an information night, and it just kept going from there.
Boy, it's fun. It's a funny. I kind of thought it may be a lightning bolt hitting you or something. Who knew it was a sewer dye test?
That's right. I had to step away just for that reason.
Now, Marie, are you a convert as well?
No, I am a Slovenian by heritage. My parents are both immigrants.
Deacon, and we're going to talk about this in another segment here coming up very quickly, but you're even more heavily involved in the diaconate program now with forming people. But as they come to you, as is your story, how important is it that somebody suggests something to you, like you'd make a good deacon, you know, that sort of thing? Is it, do you hear that a lot when people come to the meeting to take this into consideration?
Sure. We hear all kinds of stories, Paul, but I call those types of things indicators. And when we sit down and we start talking with a man who is discerning a vocational call, I generally ask him, how did you get to be thinking about this to where you're sitting here and talking about it with me? And you hear a lot of different stories, and sometimes God speaking to them in a whisper. And other times they say, you know, I'm a little bit thick, and God kind of hit me over the head with a 2x4. And but God uses a lot of people. God speaks through people. God uses different signs to help touch our hearts. And we really sit and try to listen to their story and, you know, try to make some sense out of it. What I'm always impressed by is it's a very moving story, and it's not uncommon at all that as we're sitting and talking, the man will actually start to cry.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's that personal, it's that intimate, and it's sometimes it's interesting to watch their wife's reaction because they haven't seen that from their husbands, to know the true depth of their faith and what they feel that they're being asked to do.
Okay. We're going to come back in just a moment. We have Deacon David Kushner and his wife, Marie. Marie, you got to share him with a lot of people now. Let's talk about that when we come back right after this break. On AM 1260 The Rock, this is God Calling. I'm Paul Orlowski. This is God Calling. I'm Paul Orlowski. And Deacon Dave Kushner and his wife, Marie, joining us. And we had been talking about your calling, Deacon, but really we're dealing with vocations here on the program. You've kind of had two vocations, obviously the married life, and now sharing your time with your parish, St. Mary's in Collinwood, with the congregation and others and counseling people. But that brings up other things. How do you divide your time between family and your ministry?
we're fortunate and blessed at this point in time in our life that our two sons are pretty much on their own and grown. And Marie retired a number of years ago, and it gives us a lot more time that we can devote to helping other people. And Marie's always been pretty good about giving me the time to go and to do the things that I'm being asked to do. But Paul, it's an interesting question that you have, because she gives me that latitude and flexibility, but I also learned. I've been married long enough, and I've said this plenty of times, that, you know, ministry can take an awful lot out of you. And when Marie sees something in me that maybe I don't want to admit in myself, that I need a little bit of a break, she'll tell me to stop. And when she tells me to stop, I know she's seeing something in me that I might not necessarily want to admit in myself, but she is my kind of my gatekeeper for that. And mm-hmm. when she says stop, I stop, and I make sure that that I'm listening to her, and I keep the priorities straight in my life as well.
Marie, how do you minister to the minister?
You know, it's sort of a turnabout is fair play. Dave, in the early years of our marriage, was in fact Mr. Mom, and he supported me in my career in the tax department at Sherwin-Williams, 100%. And then it came time for him, and I committed to his vocation, 100% as well. And that vocation requires a lot of flexibility, not only on his part, but also on mine. And I can't tell you how many times I'd wake up in the morning and say, okay, where am I taking you? Am I taking you downtown to St. Mary's or to Wycliffe to the seminary? So flexibility is a watchword, patience, respect, and honor as well.
As he was discerning this vocation, what were the conversations like? I know you were very supportive.
Yeah, she was supportive. And actually, Paul, we have an interesting story, I think, and that Marie was doing an awful lot working. And then at the time that I went through formation, the wives of the guys had to come to class as well.
It was just short of a mandate, actually, and a burden in a kind of interesting way, a blessing and a burden. I know that amongst the wives, I'm sure there are plenty of sidelong glances and things about, you know, having family matters to attend to. But we all came, and once it was all done and finished, we all looked at each other and said, "I wouldn't have had it any other way."
Right.
So it was a true blessing in a lot of different ways.
Right. But one of the things that also came out of that, Paul, I have admitted this many times, that Marie is much smarter than I am. She's much more gifted academically. But she enjoyed the classes so much that she said, you know, I help you guys do all these things. I'd like to do something for myself as well. And we said, sure, what do you want to do? And she said, I'd like to take some additional classes, because I enjoy this so much, to start working on a master's degree in theology. So along with going to class with me on Wednesday and Saturday, she started taking classes at St. Mary's Seminary and Graduate School of Theology, and she eventually earned her master's degree.
Wow.
When that took place, though, and then when I was ordained, she encouraged me to continue on to get my master's degree, which I did. And then one of the funny parts that I never thought would ever happen, but she started working on her doctorate degree in ministry there and encouraged me to do the same thing. And we both earned our doctorate degree in ministry at the same time. And I think we were the first married couple to ever do that.
Well, the blessings just continue to grow.
Yeah,
they do.
I share with you something, Dave, which is I also at home have somebody that's smarter and more academically gifted than I am, and it's not even close.
That's very gracious and diplomatic.
Well, can you imagine saying something different on the radio? That would not be a very good not a very good plan. After it took me 43 years to learn that, but I did eventually learn that. But Marie, the hard days when he's counseling somebody, maybe somebody with a deathly ill relative or somebody on their deathbed, does it take a toll? How do you read those signs?
And it accumulates. It's not a single thing. It's an accumulation of different things that happen over the course of time. And I look at him, and there's a little bit of edgy to him. And the solution, the antidote almost always is let's pack up and go somewhere. And we do.
Mm-hmm.
So this past year has been a little difficult, a little challenging. But in the prior year, we go, and even places close to home. So we've been to the Finger Lakes. We've been to Niagara Falls. We have a son that's in San Antonio, so we go down regularly to see him. A family in Kentucky and in Pittsburgh. And so those are the kinds of things that we do just to get away, just to refresh and regroup and then come back renewed and ready to start all over again.
A short vacation, as you say, this year has been very, very difficult, but it does allow you to clear your head.
It sure is. And this past year has been a little bit, like I said before, challenging, but we found we've rediscovered Cleveland's wonderful parks,
mm-hmm.
and cemeteries as well, walks in the neighborhood and things like that, closer to home and much more modest, but just as refreshing and wonderful.
Deacon, do you find if people treated you differently since you became a deacon?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I think at first they weren't sure how to treat me or what to say or what to do. It was kind of, at my parish at least, we had never had a deacon. So that was a little bit of an adjustment. But I think after time, I kind of took the advice of the different bishops and from my pastor and just allow them to help me to become the deacon that I need to be and who I'm supposed to be. So they treat you a little different. People do listen to what you have to say. So you have to be a lot more careful and make sure that there's consistency in all parts of your life. You know, we don't want to sound preachy or too holy and then go out in the parking lot and cut somebody off trying to get onto the street. There's got to be some consistency in how we live our life.
That happens at Catholic churches? Oh, dear. In any case, I make a joke, but I've seen it happen before. We're going to come back, and we're going to talk. Let's talk a little bit as we come back about the diaconate program. What does it take, the young men coming to that program, and your work in that, Deacon? We'll be right back. This is Paul Orlowski. This is AM 1260 The Rock. Name of the program, God Calling. This week's topic, really very interesting. We're with Deacon Dave Kushner and his wife, Marie, and talking about the diaconate. We've talked about him having to share time, family time, Marie sharing time with others as well, and actually his calling, Deacon's calling. But Deacon, I'm interested in the program itself. Now, you currently are working with the diaconate. You're in charge of the diaconate program. What does it involve? How do you start people off? They'll come talk to you, and as you said earlier, it's sometimes an emotional experience. What happens next?
Well, usually what we do is we start meeting with them as an individual couple just to kind of get to know them a little bit, but to try to give them some preliminary information about what the diaconate's all about. Not only on a nationwide level, but here in the Diocese of Cleveland and what the formation experience is like. And after I meet with them, then what I do is usually send them home with a number of resources for them to continue on with that discernment process. I might have them talk to some guys that are going through formation right now that might have similar backgrounds and experiences to them. And we try to get them in touch and start working with a spiritual director to get them involved up in their parish as much as we can get them involved and to go out and talk to some deacons and their wives. We figure the more people that they can talk to about this vocation, the better off they are. And we give them some time. This is Bishop Pillar used to say, formation takes time. It's not anything that's rushed. And we don't rush anyone, we don't push anyone, and we're really not selling anyone. We're trying to say this is what the diaconate's about, and try to help them to structure their discernment a little bit more than maybe what it was before. And we stay in touch with them. We kind of walk a journey with them. And if there comes a point in time where they feel like they are ready to apply to the program, we send them an application, and once that's returned, if we look at it and ask them to start gathering some information for us, the sacramental records, transcripts, references, we ask them to write a little bit about who they are, their life story, so we know who we're talking with. And then what we do is we connect them with members of our admissions team just to meet with them along the way. And then as we go through that process of discernment, the more they're involved in it, the more they're getting to know people and know about the diaconate. And then we sit down with them and we make a decision if we think they're ready to come into the program. There's two things we're always looking at. We're trying to work with a group of people to, number one, do we all feel that there is a true and authentic calling, or at least indicators of that calling? But the second part is equally as important. We want to make sure that this is the right time for them. And that's always the interesting question, because every man and every family is different. Some guys come along and say they would like for their kids to be in college or out of college so that they don't feel that they're taking away from their family. Yet what we're finding right now is we're attracting a lot of younger men into our program.
Wonderful.
You have to be at least 30 years to enter the program, because you have to be 35 years old to be ordained, and it's a five-year program. But we're attracting younger guys that are interested in the diaconate, even with younger kids. And we currently have a man in our formation program who is, he and his wife had three children and were pregnant and had their fourth child while he was in the formation program. Now, that might not be right for some guys, but for them at this point in time, it is still the right thing, and they're still progressing on in formation. And our role is to help them with that as well.
You mentioned something earlier about encouraging them at the outset to get more involved with their parishes. And I'm finding that. We talked about this briefly during the commercial break. Now, being a Eucharistic minister, there's a blessing in that. I take it to people at home. An elderly woman, 94 years old, sharp as a tack, and she really appreciates it. But it's a blessing, and as we say, blessings multiply themselves through that. Is that why you're telling them to go get involved in their parish?
Right. And also, the deacon is the servant to the church. We're the ministers to those who are in need. And that need is not necessarily a financial need or an economic need, but they're also those who are poor in mind, body, and spirit as well. And what we do is we oftentimes are taking, and we're called to do the same thing that all Catholics are called to do, which is to go to church, to be strengthened by the Eucharist, and then to take that back out into the world to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ to everyone we come to. We do it as deacons through sacramental graces of ordination. But all Catholics are called to do that. But that's our role, and that's our function, to be the servants of the church, to go and take Christ everywhere and to anyone who needs to have Christ brought to them.
In the when somebody comes to you, you're probably looking at the spouse as well. You mentioned that briefly, but you know, Marie, when you and Dave went to those meetings, they were looking at you too to see if there was a buy-in. Am I right?
That is absolutely correct. And in fact, a man will not be ordained unless his wife gives an informed consent. Yes, to the mm-hmm. vocation.
Right. But Paul, just so you know, it is possible, and we do have men that have been ordained to the permanent diaconate, and we have one man who's in formation right now who will be, God willing, will be ordained a deacon this May, who are living single lives, so they're single and celibate.
Mm-hmm.
And so they feel that that's the right thing, and we work with them for 5 years to make sure that they're comfortable with that, and that's part of our process, is to help walk that journey with them, that they can live that type of a lifestyle.
What's the difference between a permanent deacon and a transitional deacon?
Yeah, in terms of their function, they're both deacons. But a transitional deacon is a step along the way for a man toward priesthood. And in the Diocese of Cleveland, they'll go through different phases of formation. They will be ordained as a deacon, and they're ordained a deacon and of service to the Diocese of Cleveland for 1 year before they're ordained to the priesthood. Somebody who's a permanent deacon would be someone like myself. That's who we are. We're permanent deacons. We will not advance forward into the priesthood. We're permanent deacons.
Is the coursework all the same up until that point?
Similar but different. Mm-hmm. We basically take the same classes. They may have a few extra classes that they would have to take as a seminarian, but for the most part, they're taking the same systematic courses, history courses, liturgical courses, pastoral courses. So they're very similar, and most of the time, they're taught by the same instructors.
Okay. So you're in class with those that eventually will become priests in some cases.
We used to share a class or two. We still do, and we'll share two classes come next year together. But we try to do them separately. It just has to do with the scheduling and the amount of material that's covered in
okay.
the classes.
Well, I thank you both for joining us, Deacon Dave and, of course, Marie Kushner out at St. Mary's Church in Collinwood, the director of the diaconate program. If somebody's interested in the program, they can certainly contact you. And the name of our program is God Calling. Week after week, we're going to continue to talk about any number of callings, whether it be the single life or ordained life. You name it, we want to talk about it. And if you're out there listening, we'd love to hear from you. If you have some suggestions, feel free to send us an email. So Deacon Dave and Marie, thanks so much for joining us. Wonderful program. Glad hearing from you, and we really appreciate it.
Oh, thank you, and a Merry Christmas, Happy New Year to you and to all your listeners.
Same to you guys. Thanks for listening, folks. This is Paul Orlowski, the name of the program, God Calling, and we will see you next week right here on AM 1260 The Rock, Cleveland Catholic Radio.
What do you want me to do? Why am I here? You're here on this planet for a reason. What do you want me to do? Why am I here?
Hello? Hello? Who is this?
This is God Calling.
Thank you for listening to God Calling here on AM 1260 The Rock. This locally produced program is dedicated to looking closer at religious vocations from the priesthood to marriage, from parenting to the single life. Join us next week for another episode, and if you missed any part of this week's program, visit our website at am1260therock.com and click on the Archive Audio tab.
The preceding program was a production of St. Peter the Rock Media and is brought to you by you. If you liked it, consider making a donation and supporting Catholic radio programming on AM 1260 The Rock. Click on the Donate Now button in the upper right corner of the webpage.